Well, as always, it's a marvelous time for us to be together, a great opportunity for us to share together. It's always my pleasure to be able to stand before you and present a lesson from the Word of God. In 52 years of preaching, I have preached 51, Ken, sermons on mothers at Mother's Day. In case you want to know about why there was only 51 and not 52, well, I made a mistake and didn't do that, and so I didn't make that mistake again. David Haney, you all know David Haney? David's our resident DPS officer. He was telling me the other day that he pulled a fellow over late at early, actually, in the morning, about 2 a.m. in the morning for speeding. He said, he asked him, he said, just where is it you think you're going in such a hurry at this time of the morning? He said, the man replied, he said, I'm on my way to a lecture about alcohol abuse and the effects it has on the human body, as well as the effects of smoking and drinking and staying out late. David said, I said to him, who in the world would be giving a lecture like that at this time of the morning? He said, that would be my wife. Well, mothers, they're also wives. Their job is a multiplicity of descriptions. They're everywhere, all over the place. I've heard so many things over the years about being mothers. I remember overhearing a couple of ladies talking in the foyer, not in this congregation, it was another one, and they were talking about how long it takes to get back to normal after you have a baby. And one of them said, well, it's 6 weeks. And the other one said, no, it's 10 weeks. And I stuck my head in the crowd and says, normal is history. Think about that. Isn't that true? Yeah, there's nothing that changes life like your children. They were talking about something else, but I was trying to give them a little something, Bobby, but that almost got me a smack from one girl. But anyway, anybody that says that you learn how to be a mother just by instinct, I've heard some people say that. Actually, that's probably someone who never took a three-year-old shopping or to Walmart, right? That doesn't come by instinct. But we're here today to say to you that we are grateful to you for being mothers. I'm grateful to our God. The way things work out, that we have mothers. I gave my mother this card years ago, and I tell it often on Mother's Day. It says on the front, Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to pray for me every day. You turn it over on the inside, and it said, God help you if you ever do that again. Well, I had a few of those. You probably had one or two of those yourself in your own lifetime. What do you say about mothers? It's such a hard thing to thank you, Roger, for reminding us to go back to the cross. You don't know how hard that is for a preacher, because a preacher is sitting down here getting ready to get up, talk about something, and it may be that some scripture or some illustration or something pops in his brain and he gets his pen out, and it's hard to be focused like we ought to be focused. I appreciate you bringing us back to the cross during our communion today. When I think about the subject of mothers, I have to think about my own mother. My mother was born on the third month of the year, March the 20th of 1920, in Coosa, Oklahoma. There were a lot of things happening in 1920 that aren't happening now. She lived in the Depression era. As she got older, when she bought anything, she bought two of them. She was afraid they might run out. Those of us didn't live through that era don't understand that. My dad bought a new pair of shoes, and he liked it. He'd order another pair of shoes, just like them, just in case they ran out. That was their era. She was a 20-year-old by the time the war came along, had a child, not me, my mean sister. Well, she was the older sister, okay? No, she was really a lovely person, very good to me, and she left this earth in 1998. I love my sister Barbara. But my mama was a great mother. When you say my mama, I think of fried chicken. I can smell it. Do you have smells you can bring up? I can tell you exactly how her black skillet smelled. It smelled like fried chicken because that's what she cooked it in. I don't know how she did it or what she did, but nobody else seemed to be able to duplicate it, and so everybody came to her house for fried chicken. Even on Mother's Day, we had fried chicken. My mama wouldn't have it any other way. She fixed it. Of course, there'd be fried potatoes. I'm getting on you young people, ain't it? Fried chicken and fried potatoes with gravy. Bobby, can you love on this, man? Oh, preach on. Yeah, this is good stuff here. Yeah, none of that. Let's have a bottle of water. Listen, man, give me something to drink and let me get after this. Pass the salt. My doctor wouldn't like that either. Moms are great. How do you say anything about your own memories for your own mama? That's a really hard thing to do. So that's something I'm not even going to try to do because it's not really something I can do. But I am going to give you a few things that I think are important. Some characteristics from biblical mothers that I think my mother had. I think you'll probably see them in your own mother, and they would all be to different levels, I'm very sure. There are a lot of passages I could have used. I'm going to use 2 Timothy 1. We're going to go there and read that. Wayne, thank you. Put that up for us here. Where he writes and he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelled in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that that's in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a power and of love and of discipline. Now, when we move to talk about, I'm not going to talk about Eunice first. I'm going to talk about a different biblical mother, but I think we'll see some marvelous things we see in ladies today that pass them along to their children. What did your mother teach you? One of my fondest memories about my mama sitting next to her in church, she had a beautiful singing voice. She could sing soprano, she could sing alto, and just whichever one of those, and I kind of came in there with invented my own soprano alto sound. Trying to mimic her growing up as a child, listening to her sing. I can still hear her sing. I know her voice. If she were here today, I could pick her out of the crowd. But there were a lot of other things my mother taught me. One of them, I think, is seen very simply in this concept of being a protector. I think mothers are protective, devoted, influential, and without any question, loyal. And I think I've got some biblical examples that prove that. Under the idea of being protective, I want you to think about Moses' mother, Jochebed. If you read over in the book of Exodus, you'll read about her. and about what she did during a time that was just absolutely unspeakable. Because the people in Egypt, the Pharaoh in Egypt, who was no longer, favorable to the Israelites, tried to bring about birth control by eliminating every male child that was born. All the male children were to be thrown in the Nile, the crocodile-infested Nile River, knowing that they wouldn't survive. A means of birth control. The woman conceived and gave birth. This is Exodus 2 through 4. She gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Now that might be okay the first week or so, huh? You know, when they're just, most of them are sleeping for a long period of time. Unless you raise four little devil children like we did, and they never slept. But after a while, that must have been very tedious to do their best to keep her child quiet during those days. You see, because Pharaoh had said, every son which is born to you, that is, the children of Israel, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you can keep alive. But Jochebed, she determined to disobey that. And she did not do that. You've heard probably humorously that Moses started out as a basket case. Well, that's true. When he got to the stage of 3 months and she knew that it was going to be an impossible task to keep him alive, she put him in a basket near where the Egyptian princess was. And of course, she found him. And you've read the story. You know all about the idea of what happened there. And was raised over in the house of Pharaoh. And it just so happened that his own mother became his child care program. Isn't that a wonderful story? How God took care of someone who was going to be a great leader in the nation of Israel. You know, I really think that we misunderstand the concept sometimes of how mothers are our very first protection. That's why they're in a womb. That's why they're kept that way. God designed it like that. They are the earliest source of protection that we have. My mother was that kind of mother. Don't say something bad about me or Barbara in front of my mother. You would have to deal with her. I'm sure that's true in your family, that you're going to stand up for your children. How many school teachers we actually have in the crowd? Oh, look at them. Lots of school teachers. How about dealing with those parents? You know, when you sent that note home and said, this child is incorrigible. They come back all friendly and they say, I'm fixing to tan his hide, right? Well, that's the way it was in my house, but I think things have changed a whole lot. You don't want to mess with a mother. But what about a mother's responsibility? Mothers are people who devote or dedicate their children. And that story is depicted over here in 1 Samuel. And you can read about Hannah, who wants to have a baby, but the Lord has closed her womb. And we read that story over there where Elkanah, that's the dad, He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He says to her, Hannah, am I not better to you than 10 sons would be? That was not what she wanted to hear. It happened after it happened year after year that as often as they went up to the house of the Lord, this is Hannah and Elkanah, they went there for their sacrifices, and that she would provoke her. This is the other wife. So she wept and she would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart so sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Well, I don't know about that one. You see, Hannah dedicated or prayed to God and told God that if he would open her womb, she would dedicate that child to God. I want to say something here. Maybe young people, we don't realize this very often. But you know, that old saying about the hand that rocks the cradle, what does that do? Have you ever heard that one? It rules the world, doesn't it? Because mothers have the kind of influence by their devotion about where the children go and what they do. And that's a powerful one. And that's what happened with little Samuel that was born, who became a great leader in the nation of Israel. You see, that was all because of Hannah, his mother. Samuel's dedication to God, which first resided in his mother, blessed the nation of Israel for many, many years, over 40 years. Samuel was a great leader. So mothers are protective. They are dedicators. They're devoted to their family. And then as we read, as we began in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is reminding Timothy of the faith that's in him. And he says, the faith is there because of your grandma and because of your mother, Lois and Eunice. If you read the rest of the New Testament, and if you'll read a few commentaries, you'll find that it's probably true that Timothy's father was not a Christian, that he was a Greek. And his mother and grandmother were left to seeing to it that they would devote him and influence him to become the kind of person that he became. A sincere faith they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then later on in the book, chapter 3, he will write, you, however, Paul's saying to Timothy, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. You learned them from your mama. You learned them from your grandmother. They were the ones who taught you these things, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. That's important to us, that lead us, of course, to our salvation. That's what they were teaching him. And that was what their influence was going to be in the world. As I've said to you before, there are so many other things that I could say about my own mother. But my mother, by her example, taught me the great importance of the power of the Word of God. I don't really know. I'm going to say one of the great things I think David Fraze told us 2 weeks ago right here in this pulpit. And I hope you heard it. And you're going to keep hearing it because I'm going to keep saying it. I don't say it enough. But the power of the community that raises children is untapped. Because when I think about my childhood, it was not just my mother, but it was my mother's friends. It was the people she hung out with. It was the people she had invited into her home and fed them fried chicken. It was the people that came to my home that helped raise me in the Lord, because they were godly people. When we don't get ourselves connected with the community of the church, we miss a marvelous opportunity to help our children not only to develop friendships with Christian children, but that they get influenced by other Christian parents. Hello? Yeah? That's powerful. It's powerful in their lives. And much of that are the things that they remember. In fact, that's what Paul was calling Timothy to remember. That from your childhood, you were taught these things. And you were influenced. Call them up and use them so that they will help you to live your life. Okay, it's almost time for you to go have Mother's Day lunch, okay? One more point. Let's look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's so much to say about Mary. Jesus, who is the Christ. In Luke chapter 2, verse 22, the scripture says, I know you're at John, you're okay, stay there. When the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. I'm going to tell you that being, you know, raised in a preacher's family is, well, I'm going to say has some advantages and disadvantages. But I can tell you this, that all of my kids, not long after they were born, unless there was something wrong health with their health, they were in the pew next to Miss Rosemary. She wrestled those kids with me from the pulpit. And I don't mind telling you, I was the kind of guy that came down and disciplined my children in the seat. So they didn't act up too bad till they got sitting off in the youth group, you know, hanging out with the rest of the members' kids, corrupting them like crazy. I'm kidding. No, it was a good thing. They brought him to the Lord to dedicate him to the Lord. That's what mothers do. Mary was a loyal mother to her son. On that day, an old priest, a man by the name of Simeon, serving his course in the temple, took the baby Jesus into his arms, and he announced that he could now die in peace because, just as God had promised him, he had lived to see the coming of the Messiah. And the glory of Israel and Mary and Joseph stood there amazed at the words that were coming off the lips of Simeon. You know, remember what his problem was? Go read that story. That's a neat story. But the scripture that gets to me is this John 19. It says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they took his outer garments. They made four parts, a part to each soldier. And the tunic also. But the tunic was seamless. It was woven in one piece. So they said to one another, let's not tear it, but cast lots for it. So they decided whose it would be. This happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. This is Psalm 22, I do believe. They divided my garments among them, and they cast lots for my clothing, and therefore the soldiers did these very things. Now, if you keep reading in John chapter 19, you will read that it also says that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the wife of Cleophas, they stood nearby. I can't imagine what kind of fortitude it took for a mother to watch her son for hours on the cross, to shed his blood for no crime, but for our sin. I don't know how she managed that. I don't know how she put up with that. To watch them gambling off to see who might get his clothes, to see that all would be fulfilled because of her loyalty to Jesus, she never left his side. That's what my mom would do. She'd be there with me. Christian women are protective. They're devoted. And Lord knows, probably we just don't even imagine how influential they actually are. My mama's loyalty to me was fierce. I could tell you stories about maybe somebody saying something unkind to me about what I may have said in some sermon or whatever. She'd step right in between them. I'd say, "Go get him, Mom." Well, not really, Ken. I just sort of backed out of the way because I didn't want to get caught in the fray. You know what I mean? You get a lot of stuff slung on you that way. Loyal. How marvelous it is God gave us mothers. I don't know, folks. I love you. I love your attention. I love you for putting up with me and all of my weirdness, I suppose, in some time. But I'm just going to say to you, that loyalty never ends. It never ends. You may be an empty nester. We have empty nesters in the crowd. You don't have to raise your hand. If you think the kids are gone, I have a bulletin for you. They're not. They keep showing up. And you're going to like it. They keep having difficulties. And you're going to help them. That's what it's about. That's what the community is about. Isn't it, brethren? Even when people leave our ranks and we don't see them for a while and they come back, we're happy they're here, aren't we, right? And we try to do our very best to ensure to them that we are their family and we want them to be in the Lord's body. God bless us for giving mothers. I hope you have a wonderful day with your family. I see you have lots of family here today. Turner's going to lead us in a song of encouragement. I'm going to invite you to come. If you're in need, let us help you. Let's come while we stand and sing.